It's always good to start the program with chewing and snacking. I promise.
I think that's the only reason people tune in. They're like, oh yeah, it's great. They just sit around and eat.
He plugged it in to show his mother when we were up there. And he fixed the one where there's a big bag of popcorn. She was like horrified. Like, all she could hear was the chewing.
Popcorn sauce on.
That was a giant bag of popcorn. It was like, all we did on
it was coconut. Coconut oil.
Good popcorn, right?
Yeah.
That was good popcorn.
You can imagine that one didn't sound that great.
Yeah. Oh well.
It's enough to cut out many, many groups of people.
You can't hit them all out of the park, you know.
Well, it's a good, you know, gauge of interest. If you can't handle chewing, then.
Yeah.
Might as well just leave now.
Yeah, what are you in it for? If you think you're going to wake up by facing a wall,
yeah,
not happening. Chewing, your chances are much improved.
Here, listen to the CD. It's 2 hours of chewing. See how you feel.
Great CD.
Yeah. If you can make it through that. You're good.
Yeah.
I know. I always get like, when I go to the movie theater, there's such crackling eating. It's like, because it drives me nuts. Unless I'm eating and crackling eating.
And it's good. Yeah. You can get a sense of the frustration or the impossibility of coming from a vantage point of inhabitation and trying to get a bead on, you know, freedom from inhabitation. That's why, you know, the message could be spoken over and over and over and over again by numerous personalities of, you know, either gender, age of persuasion and ethnicity and all that stuff.
I've heard about crackling.
Oh, yes, more snacks. We almost starved to death.
I think we should serve cocktail franks.
No, thanks.
We should both do
not overdose on Christmas because
these are one of those perfect size, little guy.
Oh, perfect size? What are they? They're just perfect. Oh, that one looks awfully nice. Thanks.
Now I need something to even out my blood sugar level as I eat the sugar in your way.
Yeah,
I need some popcorn in one hand.
You can't even get out any, like, cogent introductory remarks around here without being interrupted by snacks or food. Yeah.
I have no memory of what you said.
I vaguely remember it. I think we can do it again. Yeah, I got it. Don't worry. I got this, yeah.
Elmer.
That's just looking at you like, I love him so much. I don't know why, but I do. Huh.
I think you're thinking that.
Yes.
Well, she's got you.
That's not what you were thinking.
She's got you snowed, eh?
Oh, boy.
Yeah. You're like, take that hat off. What the hell? Good. Yeah. Good alibi.
Yeah. No, I'm not thinking, why is he wearing that hat?
Really? She's thinking 1 year down.
1 year down.
One to go.
The hat is hidden nicely.
Yeah, she tried to hide this hat under like a pile of stuff, but I sniffed it out, you know, like a dog and its toy.
I see now.
Well, let's see.
She was thinking of ways that she could. She's like, where else could I put that hat?
Oh, no, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. There has to be somewhere.
2 years ago,
to get rid of that hat.
I think we're going to use it as kindling for the next fire. Sure got a nice fire there. Hey, is that my hat? Fuck. Yeah, no, let's. We can come back. I have a kayak and really good kayak blades to navigate these rapids back to the etheric nature of the primacy of being.
And I remember what it would look like when Elmer Fudd were kayaking, but now.
Now you go.
We got that down.
Yeah. Hunting rabbits, that's an easy one, but kayaking.
Rabbits.
That's something else. So you see all of these sincere, inspired presentations, you know, from persons or presenters that draw attention to, I don't know, what do you want to call it tonight? You know, enlightened fucking ment or something like that. I mean, this gal, Ella May, was referring to it as non-duality, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, her topics of non-duality.
So we typically dwell or abide under a profound hypnotic influence, type or hypnotic suggestion. And we don't even really know how to begin to elucidate the nature of the hypnotic suggestion we dwell under until something, someone, or some experience calls it so profoundly into question that we're forced to struggle with a new vocabulary to consider a view, however brief, that you have to have, however brief, of this is not what I thought it was. Now, you know, that can be through an injury, a tragedy, a loss, a drug, right? Organic spiritual encounter, meetings with, you know, remarkable persons. Thankfully, we won't find any here. And so you become inspired to consider a bizarre possibility, a bizarre way of being or feeling yourself that is somehow delightfully or intimidatingly antithetical to your default, right? Default hypnosis. Now, most folks, were there any, never in a lifetime even consider or contemplate or are confronted with even the most remote possibility that there's something other than or outside their default way of being. No clue, not interested. You obviously were swarmed, if we, you know, sip from that fountain with, let's just call it, you know, non-dual resources that are greater than we could possibly imbibe in a lifetime. And yet, even though we can see, you know, the tsunami of possible teachers and places and teachings and exercises and practices and conversations and meetings and mystery schools that we could possibly go to, most people, they don't even know this world exists, that this subculture exists at all, even though they may have heard of the Buddha, they may have heard of Christ, you know, they may have heard of whomever, historical persons whose teachings or Gnostic teachings lay a rather explicit, not shy, conduit for something, right, beyond default, the default operating consciousness. Okay. So-and-so either speaks slowly, eloquently, methodically, or in enthusiastic tones, or in, excited monologue about the self or selfing or radiant presence or the default mode network or, you know, all of the monikers that are used, the FSA. We could go on and on, right? All the absolute consciousness, you know.
You could get excited about something.
Yeah, you could go on and on about all the ways that various persons dead and alive have done their best to offer something of themselves, something of the nature of a transcendent being that they may have discovered. And then you look at the general content or context for much of the questioning that occurs in these kinds of, right, interfaces. And much of the questioning is really, you could boil it down to, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Even though it may sound sincere and cogent and in the groove with the so-called presentation, underneath it all, because it's coming from a default hypnosis, what's really being said is, sounds fucking great. I'm glad you're there. I'm glad I'm here, maybe. But I still don't know what it is, what the fuck it is you're talking about. I mean, look anywhere. I mean, you can look at a Bentinho retreat or an Adyashanti retreat or recordings from any number of, right, masters of the craft. And you're not going to get all that much from the questioner. Because that banter is so familiar, so predictable, that we're looking at a kind of a force field, you know, an elephant in the room kind of force field, where here's a human being, let's say even in our proximity, if we, of course, you know, paid the money to go hang out with them, that might be espousing something that's abso-fucking-lutely remarkable. And if I don't get my fair share of that between now and the day I die, I will chalk this life up to absolute failure. Right? And but this kind of strange force field seems to separate us from that which is being spoken about in enthusiastic, humorous, animated tones. That's the dilemma.
Well, and it seems to me that the people are inclined, I mean, of course, you know, they frame it in the context that they already have. And so it's a lot of, well, do you mean, yada, 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 or, well, I think I understand what you mean this, and you mean, I mean, it's all
right.
Enough.
That's right.
You know,
yeah. Well, so that's
funky. The basic underlying kind of thing, it seems like, of, I mean, it goes back to kind of simile and metaphor. If you are an object and then there's another object and it's divided back to two, and then you're going, I want, instead of saying, if you're saying, like, I wonder what it would feel like to be a candle, then you're referentially in imagination, you're still this body trying to imagine what it would be like to be that candle instead of saying, I am that candle and then feeling myself as that candle. They're very different.
Yes.
So one, the one's a thought process.
Yeah.
One's an imaginary, abstraction,
so,
and it's divided.
There are three kinds of banter, you know, in a given meeting. One kind is, tell me all about your enlightened self so I can kind of place your experience in context of my experience. That's one thing. You know, tell me about the stage, right? What's your experience? The other one is letting the stage know what your experience is. And everybody else, right? You're letting people know what your experience is to see how you can calibrate yourself in relationship to something that perhaps is remarkable, right? And what's the third one? So it's about the sage, it's about me. Oh, or the third one is typically about a how-to.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So you can boil it all down to, tell me about yourself as the enlightened gal or guy. Let me tell you about myself as the aspiring and as yet unenlightened gal or guy. Or would you mind, you know, can we get into the how-to?
It's all like relationship with an object, with another object.
Yes, that's right.
So then what's the...
That's the ultimate.
Yeah, yeah, which becomes another how-to, you see?
there's nothing then.
Yeah, there's pretty much nothing then.
So,
yeah.
But it's going to happen then, any of those, you know,
yeah.
Avenues.
Yeah. So the shock value is like the Asian woman that just giggled. Right. That's as good as an enlightened giggle as you'll ever hear. Yeah, right. So that giggle is telltale, because we're right approaching something that might very well be remarkable through the conditioned lens of our default mode, our default experience as a creature, as a person with history and mind and association, meaning and preference and prioritization and the longing for being less neurotic. Yeah. And all we get is this, you know, laugh.
Yeah.
Right? Sheet laughter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there should be a new psychiatric diagnosis where think your enlightened master is laughing at you.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Everywhere I turn, I hear my enlightened master laughing at me. At the bank. At a stoplight. Right.
But it seems like the three modes that you're talking about, approaches or whatever, they're all trying too hard. You know, it seems to me that there's a subtlety, there's a hanging back, and just the hanging back and hanging out that is more appropriate for the situation. That there's something that you get when you're not striving so hard.
Yeah.
To compare or to
yes.
move.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's like we have an perhaps urgent, enviable, earnest, to use your Sagadatta's term, interest in something remarkable, which we've heard about, read about, seen videos about, felt most likely. So we easily get tripped up we get tripped up by a discovery agenda. You see? We're in a discovery mode. Yeah. Right. And a discovery mode can't occur in, let's say, your experience without a discoverer.
Like chopping things up and putting labels on them. It's not an issue. That's just what this does.
Yeah.
Zoom, zoom, zoom. That's how you get focus, you know, of any attention.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, when it's about you in relation to something
yep.
else that you've created a boundary field around, then it's like, oh, boy.
That's right. Yeah. Gosh. And that's why, you know, that laughter occurs, because the call it the cathedral.
They're not laughing with you, they're laughing at you.
They are totally laughing at you. There's no question about it. Yeah, they are laughing at you. They're not nearly as compassionate as you might like to think. Fucking muggles make me laugh. Yeah. Yeah. So the discoverer, the sense of the discoverer, which is also the sufferer, right, and the seeker, right? This citadel is built of dreams. Yeah. If you really were interested, let's say, from a scientific or adventurous point of view, philosophical point of view, spiritual point of view, to find out, if you could, what the discoverer, you as the discoverer, is made of, you won't be, able to find it. You will not be able to find what it is, what you as the discoverer are made of. It is so fucked up. And yet, we, right, embrace consciously, unconsciously, voluntarily, involuntarily, the vantage point, the locus of the discoverer in attempting to make a discovery to rid ourselves of the banality of the discoverer.
You're not going anywhere in that loop.
You are not going anywhere. You're just not going anywhere. Yeah, that mean it doesn't mean you're incapable of realization. No, that would be silly to say, because all this is realization. So the capability is built in. You're good to go. The trick is not to be seduced out of habit or habituation by the presentation of the discoverer.
Like going back to the default.
That's the rub.
Yeah.
That's why the giggle. Because we come to the sage's feet.
You know. Toddlers who are saying silly things or something, you know.
And we come from the vantage point of either tell me about you, I'm going to tell you about me, or how to.
Yeah.
Right? And any of those, all three of those, are movements in aspiring consciousness of the discoverer. But that's why the giggle, because there is no discoverer. So there's nothing the sage can tell you about themselves. They certainly, nor does the rest of the audience, want to hear anything about you. Because they're all interested in themselves, but wisely so. And there's no how-to. There can't be a how-to. Because the urgency that's felt on the part of the discoverer, having already discovered plenty to be disappointed about, cannot find themselves in cessation.
I mean, I would think that it would feel uncomfortable. They would feel like they're suspended in it and there's no ground below it.
This is what we're playing with.
And we've seen people that get very uptight and fearful. I mean, that is one reaction.
If you don't scare one person a week, you're not doing your job. Some one a day, you know.
I mean, usually they'll just blow it off because that's a lot easier to deal with than
much easier
facing that fear.
No, you don't want it. Nobody wants it. The discoverer does not want to face the music. The discoverer wants to ask you about you, tell you about them, or ask how to.
But sometimes you see that there's a step. And it brings a and to me that's sort of a good sign, you know. It brings a fear. It's like, oh, they're getting something going on here.
Well,
it's maybe pushing a little too hard or something.
Your observations of others are always cogent and useless.
Really, totally useless.
They're totally useless.
Well, it's that same. I mean,
they're fun. They pass the time. You know, we can sip beer and talk about and should gossip about everybody. But
like funny simile thing of like trying to imagine what might it feel like to be Jeff, as if there's definitely two people. You know, I mean, instead of feeling
it
that
sucks.
You are everybody.
Yeah.
The unicity is a different felt. I don't know.
Yeah.
What I'm trying to say here.
I mean, you can't. I don't, and may never claim anything about some condition here. I don't have a condition. you know, or the default condition I have is the same condition you have. This sucks. I'm bored. I'm trying to figure out how to optimize my dopamine. You know. Yeah. Don't be looking in this direction for something that you think you want. That would be a big mistake. I mean, you do that with, you know, Peter Brown or someone that's realized, but don't do that here. That would be a big mistake. Yeah.
But yeah, anytime you say anything about another person, you're just—it's all imagination about what you
to,
just totally.
There was one guy on the Peter Brown thing in December.
The British guy.
What's that?
The Peter Brown show.
Peter Brown show.
Mm-hmm.
They have like dancers and.
Yeah.
Warm up.
I'm assuming more of the dancers.
There was a guy.
The British guy. He was like, sort of talking about. About how he just realized there was all this fear before, and you know, he just seemed like he was. I like listening to him. Usually,
yeah.
Like I am, you know, I just like hate people. But anyway,
there's some charming people out there once in a while.
And but it definitely sort of evoked, you know, like a certain, you know, envy. Yeah.
Well, sure. Any sign of progress that you haven't had yet is gonna right. Solicit, illicit envy.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, see, that's the discoverer trying to make a discovery.
Mm-hmm.
And what does the discoverer find? Either some kind of prideful self-reference, which is called progress.
Or someone else's, yeah.
Or disdain about someone else's progress, which is also called progress. Oh boy.
Along those lines.
Just exactly along those lines.
Yeah, I guess I keep on looking for something to like
hang my hat on, mark my
progress or lack there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And intellectually or whatever, I sort of get that can't be done, but on the other hand. So
yeah.
I had an interesting experience today, I think. And
might have been today.
You know,
what the hell do I know?
Like my reference for time has seemed to have gotten swirly in a big way, and it's a little scary, a little freeing, and also kind of like it's either early Alzheimer's, you know, some illness I'm getting over, flu I'm getting over. I don't know. You know, I'm not complaining anything to say what it is or isn't.
Mm-hmm.
But
your water filter.
I'm having a conversation with somebody and. It's around work, and I said, oh, yeah, we have to deal with that apartment and those people that live at that apartment. And they happen to be Indian folks that live at this apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And the person on the other line of the phone corrects me and says,
what are they doing, sweat lodges in the living room?
6 months ago, those people moved out and a new person moved in. But, like, my frame of time and reference, and it was almost like I was in a dream state of, like, thinking
that hadn't occurred.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
You're challenging your dream, right?
I can't describe. It was weird, and I thought, oh, my God, my mind is officially going. And then, so that's why I'm really, really looking for some kind of an affirmation.
It's official now.
Well, you know what, the affirmation here, today I saw a car with two stickers, and it was awesome. One said Alzheimer's Awareness, and the other sticker said, Keep Christ in Christmas. And I thought, if you get Alzheimer's, that's the best way to keep Christ in Christmas. You can't fight these two together. This is a losing battle. Alzheimer's equals Christ.
Yeah.
So here's what you might notice from these, you know, cogent and lovely presentations. This shit is just dreaming you. It's just dreaming you in place. And we define ourselves, the discoverer figures out how to define him or herself, relying upon the radiant excitability of phenomenon, of conscious contact, of experience, of presentation. See, because presentation is occurring, it is very easy, easier than we dare imagine, to turn the irrefutability of presentation into objects, right? Phenomena, with moi as the intermediary.
That was sort of just it. Like, I wasn't the intermediary.
Rock on.
I had no point of reference for this particular, like, apartment. Mm-hmm. And for a minute, I don't know. There was something very strange about that whole experience. And I want to say that for a moment, maybe I had kind of had a lapse of reason or a lapse of myself. Like, maybe just for a moment, I was sort of functioning without my usual gender mindset, usual, mm-hmm. like, mm-hmm. craziness.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, I was like, what? Where? Who? You know, those people? What? You yeah. know?
Yes.
And then, boom, I was back into my construct of mind.
Yeah, I mean, it, no one can prove whether an event like that is some combination of liberation and or dissociation.
I seem to be in a good mood and not agitated at the moment.
That's a good outcome.
But yeah. something... upsetting. Anyway, never mind.
Yeah, never mind is good. See how presently there's an engagement with living life, animation, sentience, sensation, sentiment, sensuality, right? Memory, thought, feeling. I mean, a profound field of, a profound field. And once we go particular on the field, then you could say the energy of attention or the energy of awareness spontaneously anthropomorphizes as self, as the intermediary, because of, let's just call it, focus, right?
Yeah, everything is in relation.
Yeah.
The meat puppet.
Yeah, that's right. So, I mean, to really feel and kind of notice how conscious contact suggests or invites us into the slightest hint of specificity or locus, and that specificity and locus is the genesis of the intermediary, the sense of self. Way fucking strange. And what we call the body is not present at all without sensation, being localized. So it's curious to notice or play around with the observation that sensation, localized spatially, suggests the boundary field of body. Otherwise, there is no body. The yoga, then, dealing with that basic conundrum, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's the rub, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's useful, let's say, to articulate and play around with the words and phrases and concepts we're using so that we can just for fun articulate the rub. It doesn't make it true, but it's, right, it becomes another lily pad. Yeah. Then, appreciating the rub, one can relax from the habit of occupying one's present experience as a discoverer who's hell-bent on a discovery. You're not a or the discoverer. If anything is occurring, before we tell a story about it, it is, or it comes down to, sensation. That's why we sometimes like to use the word, or perhaps frequently use the word, felt. Now, that sensation is not just what we would call physical sensation, because as we relax, the perimeter and the content of what we call body becomes diffuse. And yet sensation is still present. Experience or phenomena or conscious contact blossoms in you through sensation. If it's light, we call it the sense of seeing. If it's sound, we call it the sense of hearing, right? Contact with skin is touch. Wafting aroma is called smell. Nonpareils on the tongue is called taste or cocaine, right? Thought is, what the fuck is thought? I mean, really, we take it for granted, and then we get entangled with it or its implication. But you could say we don't spend all that much quality time wondering what the fuck it is, because we become drunk with its implication too quickly.
Well, this may be a little bit of a recording. How foreign an idea. I find the best opportunity, and I don't treat it as an opportunity, I just sort of fall into it.
Yes.
In the morning, you know, I wake up. I mean, it doesn't happen all the time, but sometimes wake up kind of.
Yeah.
Sort of in this alpha state.
Sure.
I'm aware that, presumably aware, that there's a body. I'm more aware that I'm not focused on any particular sense.
Okay.
Or even a string of thought. It's
nice.
More just the awareness.
Yeah.
This more or less alpha type awareness where
yes.
you're just hanging out.
Would you refer to this, call it quieter awareness, non-specific awareness? Would you use the word felt or sensation, or is it subtler than felt sensation?
Yeah, I don't know if I'd say felt sensation, less sensation, maybe felt, but I would say more just an awareness of being, and
yeah,
maybe awareness of light, even though my eyes are closed, but
sure,
there's still light that comes through.
Yeah. So, I mean, looking at, let's call it an arc of subtle to express, right? This awareness of awareness is, you could say, subtler than bodily sensation.
Yeah.
Okay. It's not punctuated by anything appearing in the five senses.
And it's subtler than thought.
Yes.
Thought comes, it's like that freaking movie. It's like the train coming.
Yes.
It's like to walk towards the train.
Right. And it's curious to recognize and, of course, articulate that this quality of awareness is also not punctuated by thought.
Or if it is, that quality of awareness suddenly
changes. Sure, yeah. That's right. A diffused awareness, which is not seduced into separative consciousness by virtue of sensation or thought or the implication of thought, is, I mean, I would take the risk to say kind of lovely.
Well, you know, I think that's why I like naps so much.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, because I'm tired and I don't want to be tired. Number two, it's just this beautiful hangout.
Yeah. Right.
Because, you know, there's a certain amount of time where you just sort of go in, you know, there's this transition into sleep or transition out.
Mm-hmm. So we're playing around with considering what we would call the symptoms that punctuate or color our experience. And we have a vocabulary, which is far from perfect, but it's what we have. Right? So we can make reference to the five senses, to thought, to attention, awareness, the sense of a discoverer making a discovery, psychological time, storytelling. Right, we can paint a portrait of the nature of experience and nuanced observations of the nature of experience. That's a conversation that most folks don't have.
Right.
Yeah, and by doing so, you have to, or just organically, you find yourself sensitizing to a quality of reflection which is capable of dropping back or behind the implication of specificity, the implication of time, the implication of space, the implication of body, and hopefully the implication of how to. Now, if any one of us, you know, enlightened folks stands up and does sheet laughter, or reminds everyone that, you know, there's no one here, there's never been anybody here, I mean, that's great news. Keep it to yourself.
I know, you feel, it's like, what, why?
Yeah, because once you start telling the great news, you end up with that, what the fuck are you talking about?
Well, I can't even remember, if I can, I don't know, there's no bridge, how could I remember? But I mean, I still remember having a few of those moments myself. You know, but
that's right, and yeah. Well, and you should, and more to come. That's right. Yeah.
Microseconds or something.
microseconds are good, you know. If since there's no time and everything is entangled, a microsecond is as good as forever. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still have that quizzical kind of a feel when not that I do it, but when I heard Katie Byron, Byron Katie, whatever.
Yeah.
Do the turnaround thing. It's like, why are you going to turn around? I mean, you know, it's just this shocking off and just.
Yeah. Well, once you engage someone's persona, you've engaged their history, right? You've engaged or stepped on the gas of the discoverer. And, you know, what you're going to end up with there are, you could say, a string of cathartic, you know, releases. From either a specific or a number of, you know, so-called problems or mental grooves that are self-incarcerating, right? The challenge is to go underneath the, call it the event horizon of becoming a person, right? We have to play around with that.
You have to limbo under.
You have to limbo under it. Yeah, yeah, right. Because once you're the person, then you're overwhelmed instantaneously with story and history and sentiment and memory of all kinds, right? Memory of all kinds, not just thought memory, but, you know.
It seems like it can be squelched as a sort of muscle almost, but I mean.
Yeah, squelched.
Well, not like, you know, but like,
yeah.
You know, push it back down that way or something.
Which, well,
the story and...
You're always, if I can be glib,
yeah.
I've never stopped, never hesitated, nor will I ever stop.
A lot. Yeah. Be glib.
To be glib. Go forward. Meaning, go forward means feel this rather than do anything about anything. You see, once you do something about something.
Well, I almost have to, but that's for psychological issues.
Okay. Yeah, right.
Well, you know,
if you have a safe house for your psychological inertia, use it.
You know, I could easily, it's happened so many times where I'm laying there sort of hanging out, enjoying it. And then this thing comes over me. It's like, shit, I have this job and I have the work and I have this whole, you know, feeling like that person that has to do a task, that has to think about something. And that's this entity that just, boom. You know, now, maybe I can let that go. And maybe there's some practice to, you know, put around that. I don't know. But that's a, you know, that may trap me in. Depends on my level of depth at that moment.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
The whole doing thing, though, it's so inconceivable not
to
do something. And even if it's just the subtle of things.
Well, you see, both of these comments are, right, manufactured out of thin air that reinforce for you and perhaps someone that dares listen to you the sense of the discoverer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because you're placing yourself, again, in the temporal context as, you know, a thinking creature that has had some success doing something about something.
It doesn't come in joyfully, though. Not at all.
Well, my invitation would be then to just lighten up on it.
How does it make you feel like you're not doing it, but it's happening? It feels like it's doing.
Huh. Like now.
It has tentacles. Sure has a grab to it.
Like now. You see, the end of the discoverer is this. It's now.
Well, like if what, you know, if there's like music or if there's
music, if there's music is not now.
No.
Though you can turn some on.
Radiator.
Okay. Though you can turn some on. You see, you're placing yourself in the hypothetical context as a creature that's had prior experience.
Yeah, that's what's really weird, like what you were talking about when you were talking about how weird thought is.
Yeah.
It really, like, struck me. I was just sitting here like, this shit's really weird. I'm talking to myself. I never speak any other language besides the one language I know, obviously. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's just bizarre. It's like I was taught some things, and then I talk to myself silently or out loud.
I've been trying Ewok, but the only thing I know to ask is, where's the bathroom? In Ewok. And for Ewoks, it's pretty much just everywhere. They just pee outdoors, yeah. Uh-huh, yeah. It's
weird,
completely bananas.
Really weird thing.
Yeah. So that's what you want to get a taste of, is the recognition of how what's occurring as your present experience is fucking bananas. Because once you convert that into a what if, mm-hmm. or an if then, mm-hmm. or some kind of, you know, cogency, then you're just, you know, filling yourself up with the myth of the discoverer. I'm not saying it's bad. It's not bad. It's just reflex. So if there's a yoga which can respond to there's the rub, right? That yoga, that engagement would be right about here, right about now, see if anything is happening at all. That forces you or seduces you into the role of discoverer. And as we call it contemplate, the spaciousness of present experience, its non-specificity, its, you know, nourishing quiescence, then you get a taste of what it feels like to be free from the implication of the discoverer. This simplicity makes no demands. On you. It doesn't raise its hand and go, ooh, ooh, how to.
It's rather undefined.
Yes.
I mean, this, whatever we call it, this implicitly, this feeling tone, this, there's some, it seems like there's a mentality about it, but it's not like an active mentality. It's more of an awareness mentality.
Yes. That's right.
But how can you go any more definitive than that? You know, I mean, I have no idea.
You or this is communicating to you or itself, it's not withholding anything. You don't need to place it in a context as an intermediary. That's the discoverer, right? The frustration of the discoverer is this, let's call it sensate creation or sensate implication of being an intermediary. Yeah, which is, can be easily felt by us as this kind of insufficiency or malnourishment. Because the presence of the intermediary, in a sense, takes over our, call it functional consciousness. And then we're spinning in time, psychological time, as a body, a unit measure with a specific boundary and a volume. And the imagination of what has happened in our lives, what is happening presently, or what may, should, will, won't, can't, don't, won't in the future is suffering. So the discoverer is hoping to remain the discoverer without suffering. Ooh, ooh, how to. Yeah. But the sage, at least good ones, and apparently a handful of good ones, right? More than a handful, is saying, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. There's no discoverer. Cue Asian sheet laughter. So our the gift that we have for each other or ourselves is the willingness, the curiosity that's required, yes? To just back off the myth of the discoverer. That's not a remedy for the discoverer.
It's very clever that way.
It is. That's right. We're not trying to elucidate a remedy for the discoverer. We are opening, even though that's too new agey. Open your heart. I won't. I can't.
You know what? Nourishing quiescence.
Yes.
It's like, to me, if I have actually experienced dropping away from this story of me, that's a good description of what it's the feeling term you were talking about, right?
Yes. Yes.
So and some of these things, like I was, and then I, you know, come back into the head again.
Of course.
And all I can do is say, well, I've experienced these moments like where I don't know. But anyway, so I'm just going to babble on.
Okay.
And say that a lot of these, like, you know, the Buddhist teachings.
Yeah.
I kind of like feel like they were on to something. There's something about that.
They might have been.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, like they were on to something, you know, that whole like just laughing hysterically because you're just like.
Cue Buddhist cheat laughter.
Cue the stupidity, you know, like it's just there's nothing to be. You know, whatever, you know, and yeah. So all these things sort of like, I don't know, yeah, I seem to indicate that there's some, oh, and the idea of who was saying and openness and love, because in that quiescent state, in that nourishing quiescence
yes.
kind of state,
yes.
whatever.
And you're nourishing quiescence.
In my nourishing, no, not always. Sometimes I don't seem to have.
Well, sometimes in your nourishing quiescence.
But there's kind of like, there's no, it is sort of like a love state, you know, so that's kind of like the new agey, you know, button.
That's cool.
Because you've dropped out of any agenda. You know, you've dropped out of an agenda.
That's right. Without a discoverer, it's hard to have a pocket for an agenda.
Yeah, so that's sort of like a love state there or something.
Why not?
Is that new
yes.
age kind of like love state?
Yes. As long as it's new
age. But the
age.
Minute you, you know, I mean, of course, this is all coming from me.
We know that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm trying to.
What are you trying to do?
I don't know.
I don't know. Okay, good.
But I was saying that, again, I'm looking for an affirmation.
Oh, uh-oh.
Damn it.
You see, yeah, the discoverer.
You know, here's where I have, my default thing is, it's like God, Ma, you know,
uh-huh.
and I have a picture of what this, like, you know, this Indian woman that looks
I
like,
must
Ma.
Be validated.
Yeah, no, now, it's like, help, I hate my personality, you know, I mean,
right.
my personality, I don't completely hate it, but it's getting on my nerves.
We like it.
And it's really getting on my nerves because I'm in the same old thing, doing the same old thing, and
yes.
the same old thing.
Right.
And I'm getting a little sick of that.
Yeah.
I don't dislike all of it. I dislike some of it.
Uh-oh.
And
until it's all.
I, you know, and I recognize
kidding.
That I am fearful to let it go.
Huh?
There's a part of me that's, like, afraid, you know, I've said before that I'm going to sort of find myself living a bad lady or living under a, you know, I don't know, just or Alzheimer's or something or some, you know, whatever.
Yes.
Well, that's why you were so freaked out and you couldn't remember about the Indian people, right?
Yeah, that's why I was
because
a little, I'm like, okay.
Your whole memory
I'm fooling myself. I really have, there's something really, like, medically wrong. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Whether that be dissociative wacko disorder or Alzheimer's,
yeah.
you know. But then I was like,
that's
maybe
just another
I'm
word
really
for
something
Alzheimer's.
Here and I'm dropping
dissociative
out.
Wacko
keep
disorder.
Christmas
keep Christ in Christmas. That's right.
Yeah, and
also,
I, you know, I get that. Keep
so
Christmas.
You'll notice once again how you launch into a beautiful tapestry of association, and it brings you pretty much nowhere.
I know that. I know that. Believe it or not, I do know that.
I know. I realize that.
But
it's making me want to uncontrollably eat cookies. So.
Yeah.
For
someone's telling a story, I'm going to eat a cookie.
I'm glad I'm having an integral effect on you there, cookie.
So it's simpler. It's way simpler than we perhaps let ourselves enjoy.
Yeah, right.
It's much simpler.
Well, that quiescence thing.
Yes. So, present experience is upon us. It's too late to do anything about it. You can't wiggle free from what we refer to as presence or the present experience.
I want to control my mind. That's it. Okay, mind, stop. Now I'm in quiescence. Boom.
Who are you? Control your mind.
Right?
Yeah. Well, in order to control any symptom that appears in consciousness, you condemn yourself to being the controller, which is just another way of saying discoverer. Yeah. You see, you've purchased a ticket to separative existence, and now you want to control.
Control the
world. Yeah. So, best of luck. You're making great progress.
We affirm that. We all affirm.
we will reaffirm or reinforce.
I really want you to affirm that I don't have Alzheimer's.
I'm not a doctor.
Okay. No, I was going to have Alzheimer's too. That's my
But, yeah.
It's much simpler.
You would say that Louis C.K. bit where he talks about, like, in front of his.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Like, was all freaked out because he thought he met some woman and he thought he was having sex with a woman. It turns out they were like a transgender person with like a penis. And he says the person was like really freaked out and really messed him up. And he's like, and then I realized, like, that had happened to me years ago and I forgot about it. Like, that's the way it is now. I mean, you know, like, oh, did that happen? I forget, you know.
I mean, I think you just get a little more careful about getting the rug pulled out from under you, you know? You know, you just, shit happens, you know?
Well, we're playing around with the quality of direct encounter with your own sublimity so that you can somehow relax from how to, right? And relax from what the fuck are you talking about? So rather than express some kind of beatitude or gratitude for my so-called enlightenment, which is just total bullshit, the gift of feeling this is, right, autonomous. Yeah. Before you snap into view as the discoverer, you might notice something about present experience which releases you from that fate. That yoga is punctuated by simplicity. The, let's call it a sufficient quality of comfort, psychic comfort, as well as physical or somatic comfort, so that you can rest or sink into this. Sinking in. Simplicity. Right? Nothing to solve. Nothing to resolve from the past or the future. Sinking in. You're not trying to remedy the imposition or the implication of the discoverer. You're actually having a direct, cogent encounter with the absence of the discoverer. Free from the implication of the discoverer. You needn't remember anything about it so that you can report on it later as having had some kind of spiritual experience, which is absurd.
You know, I always wondered how people, there's a dream group at Rite of Trance.
Yes.
And these people will rouse themselves out of whatever beautiful, aimless reverie they have.
Yes.
Or from a deeper dream state. And force themselves away and write down the dream.
Yes.
It's like,
I've done that.
Condemning. Well, yes, of course you have.
It's torturous, you're right.
Yeah, I mean,
thanks for sharing.
I just, it was bugging. I had to express it.
Okay.
Well, you were just trying to sort of speak to the sort of trying to tell a story, come back from someplace.
Yeah, you know, I certainly have those.
You don't have shit.
You have to stitch it all
shit
together.
Oh, I have shit.
See how easy it is to place yourself in the role or accusation of being.
It's as easy as pie.
It's as easy as pie. Yes. Yes. As your intelligence, capacity, sensitivity, call it wisdom, gets a bead on the genesis of self, the manufacturing process of self, you can play with a way of sinking in or resting in your present experience and take your hard hat off. Clock out. This is not a repression or a suppression. Or it has no pressure at all. Experiencing is already transcendent for the taking. It's already transcendent for the asking. That's the discovery. You'll never get to some transcendent corridor or destination as the discoverer. You can have your socks blown off through circumstances, events, and pharmacological, right? Experimentation. That for sure is so. But we're taking a bolder approach than even Terence McKenna dared to take, which is this present, irrational, transcendent beatitude with no intervention, no intermediary. No matter how someone else may feel it, doesn't do you any good. Because the only encounter you can have is inside of yourself. The unbinding is yours alone. That's why I think it's kind of nice not to trumpet all kinds of things about oneself or about reality being this, that, or the other thing. Because it's of no use to anyone except as a vehicle of some kind of envy or frustration.
We'll go on, though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. No. Not likely. It's not a hypnosis. There's no hidden message, subliminal message.
It's not like thinking you're a chicken.
It's not like thinking you're a chicken, but you might leave the room going like this. Let's see what happens. Yeah. It's not a hypnosis.
Imagine that it could be characterized as a denial, but it seems to me it's like we kind of denial.
Well, again, your feeling tone, right, is what you rely upon to let you know whether this is a direction worth traveling or not.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The discoverer loves or feeds upon quarrel so that it can continue to enjoy the suffering that accompanies temporal consciousness, object-oriented consciousness.
And quarrel is very...
Quarrel
is very beautiful. It's quite attractive.
Earth spins. There's enough of it happening to keep that earth spinning with a mighty roar.
Quarrel. I thought
you
said quarrel for a second.
Quarrel. They're the same.
Talking about forgetting. Already.
You want to eat it, you're going to consume it, it's going to be kind of sharp, probably. That's the way I'm taking it.
I don't know how it's intended, so you're free to take it any way you want.
Oh, yeah.
That's
no,
what
he said.
That's what I'm gonna do.
I didn't say quarrel.
No, he said whatever. Yeah,
whatever.
Well, you like quarrel better.
You like coral, like coral reef?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So then I got confused and I felt bored.
Anything goes, man.
I mean, I can't remember like the, few milliseconds of conversation. Yeah, you already have Alzheimer's.
I already have Alzheimer's.
Now you can move on
from that. Yeah, we all
have to do. Yeah, no, we all do. So you can move on from that little issue.
There's no point in asking the sage what their experience is. They're just going to lie to you anyway.
What else can they do?
What else?
I mean, it's about as accurate as that conversation just was.
What else? Yeah, it'll be like quarrel.
Don't worry. Yeah. Doesn't matter. Or doesn't.
It doesn't patronize you like my husband does when I get upset about things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm really interested.
Yeah.
That was wrong. They should have
said
it that way.
Yeah. Honey, your reality sucks. I get that.
He would be a pro.
Help me to discharge, goddammit. So we can, because we're not that bright or gifted, we can do our... We can just do this much, you see, to kind of play around with freedom from the implication of the discoverer. Establish a TCP/IP connection with a being. We appreciate that it's very easy to snap back into, the person, the lamentation of separative identity. Okay. But at least, and maybe it's saying something, by touching this to the best of our native ability, you participate in a conscious discontinuity. You're not going to force enlightenment to crawl up your ass or down your throat, but at least you can participate.
Worms.
The worms. Don't look at me. I prefer up the ass. Not down my throat.
I don't know. I don't want to ask anyone else.
You're on record.
Don't talk to anybody.
I'm on record.
There's gotta be some room for this.
I'm just kidding. That's what everyone says when they like said something. I'm just kidding.
But she's shaking. She's shaking her head.
She's in denial.
She had me convinced I had a tapeworm.
I'm sick, perv. I'm just kidding.
You're saying that for the microphone.
I'm just kidding. Okay, so.
Completely serious.
What was like, growing up your ass?
The worms.
It doesn't matter what it is, as long as it's.
Not down your throat.
Yeah. It can only last so long. I mean, that's the thing. And then we're all.
Well, in a group setting.
How many people are listening to this?
Oh, thousands.
Then we're just back in junior high.
Okay, kind of alien.
Just junior high kind of thing.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Were you saying enlightenment was not going to curl up her ass or down her throat?
Something like that, I think, yeah.
Well,
I'm suggesting not to create, a high expectation for what you can do about anything.
The expectation isn't going to lead, but, yeah.
Yeah.
You're like, probably not going to happen for you guys.
Forget about it.
Well,
I've gotten used to that. That kind of
quite the contrary, you know.
Right?
There are a lot of, you know, Buddhist, Hindu, and other kinds of encounter and recovery groups that have no clue, have not broken the ice, have not entered into a conscious discontinuity of the implication of self.
Being busy practicing may be part of that.
Yeah. Don't underestimate yourselves.
So we are making progress.
Can you tell us?
I was trying not to say it.
Yay!
Let's sing a Danny Kaye song.
Well, that one guy who sent you into hit a hole in your energy or whatever. The one guy who was saying.
Oh.
The writer or.
Oh, yeah, John.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. He'll
probably do up the butt thing.
He'll do the up the butt thing.
That's how he does it.
That's how he does it.
You're
going to
get a lot of course. Friend
In his case, he could maybe do down the throat, too.
He uses a mammalian thermometer. He uses a mammalian thermometer to read you.
Uh-huh. Put it in any hole. God. We just cut that part out.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
You can just put a voice over my voice that makes me sound like a
male. Yeah, scramble her voice.
I do not like anal sex. I am not a sodomist.
Speaking of anal, did you guys see that movie, Sister of Sins?
No. Thanks for sharing.
My mom really wants to go see it. I'll be sure to not do it's that pretty, now. Kind
of make sure you're high.
It's not sex, so.
Uh-huh. Gerbil.
No, it's like a ballerina music box.
Amy, or what's
oh,
ballerina?
Amy Schumer?
Sorry, we're going to
a spinning ballerina?
It's a mishap. It's a mishap.
You know, someone like, sat down on a spinning ballerina music box?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, that could be enlightenment up your ass. I don't know. I mean, that.
Did the music slow down?
It's funny. I can't remember.
That's a hot fireball.
It's kind of funny. It's kind of cliche funny, but it's funny.
Non-duality.
Well, that could prove you wrong. That could be enlightenment up the ass.
Non-duality discussions in 2016. Yeah. Hey man, you got to check out this guy's YouTube channel. It goes places.
That was a pretty good video.
I'm never going to get a following.
Storm coming in.
Oh, yes.
Everybody's on the beach laughing, frolicking. Storm's coming in, making the weirdest noises. Did you guys
see that? Oh, I saw that. Yeah, I did. I checked that out. That was cool.
Amazing.
Where did you find that at?
Don't ask.
Oh, gosh.
No, ask.
Oh, but you, who's the...
No, ask.
What's the name of it? No,
don't.
No,
stop.
Yes.
Don't.
No.
Stop.
Oh boy.
Don't stop. What was it? The Zod Costa or no? No, that was the name of the poster, yeah, the guy that.
Oh, Creepy Pasta.
Creepy Pasta.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. I'm like, is
there
just
a. And the next one, I watched the next video after that. I didn't know I was supposed to be going to work.
Don't go to that website.
And that was a pretty cool next video, too.
I hope so.
Taking this image of a woman and. You can listen. But that was just amazing.
The storm thing was kind of cool.
We talk about disorienting, you know. That would be. Because this person, you so I maybe you were talking about her earlier. This person that you sent the notice out, maybe possibly contacting her.
Oh, yes.
Hopefully she won't listen to this.
There wasn't a.
Like, oh my God! They don't have
link
that for like 2 minutes.
Was there a link?
I thought I had sent.
Maybe there was.
Yeah.
I
didn't see it.
There was a link to her website, and from there you could go to her Facebook page.
Oh, okay.
Or you could just click on YouTube. There's a little play and a square with a play. That's YouTube.
Oh, okay. I missed that. All right. I mean, you
gotta know the symbols now. You know, the little blue F, the little square play button.
Oh.
For the little birds, Twitter.
Yeah. I know, it's gotten weird.
I mean, it's always fun, but I think I haven't found anybody that's.
That's going to be special.
That was special, yeah.
We, despite our tendency to free associate with aplomb, we are also curiously capable of picking up the scent of irrational discontinuity. You can, by simply considering the way your mind, one's mind, typically works, you can get a feel for its fractured nature, for the implications of the slightest hint, a homeopathic hint of separation, a homeopathic dose of individuation. You know what that feels like. By playing around the way that we do, if we're fortunate, lucky, you can also get a dose of discontinuity. Quality of simplicity. Not placing a demand on your present experience, not requiring anything of it or from it. That's an approximation of the, what would you call it, the atmosphere of the sage, right? Where the myth of individuation is wiped clean. And so you find yourself getting little tastes of living with abandon. But it doesn't have to be demonstrative, right? Or cathartic in the so-called world. The abandon is just here, just now. Requiring nothing from consciousness or conscious contact. Phenomena does not define you into being as an entity. Because all of the disquietude of our soul is conscious contact implies entity. So it's kind of fun. Not nearly as much fun as bowling, I get that. But it's kind of fun to have an encounter.
Encounter between the non-human.
That's right. That's right. Yes. Bless you. And
I mean, I guess we could say that's possibly the basic energy of human. I don't know. But it's more than human. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. More than and less than require a baseline from which to measure. And we're looking at a conditionless, right, engagement that has no baseline.
We can't put it in a box.
Yeah. Yeah. You could say it's prior to the genesis of being fractured as a creature, right? The fracturing or the duality that defines one's experience from the point of view of creature. But it's prior to all the time. So when did it exactly become prior to?
You know, maybe it's just the memory of being a baby. You know, sometimes we actually have a memory, even though maybe the memory is at that cusp where you realize, oh, there's thinking about this. And so then there is a contrast because thought came into it.
See, contrast is how the discoverer comes into being.
Yeah, yeah. But there's a recognition that that came out of this, even though
Well, no, it's stranger than that because you're...
That's pretty strange.
You're, yes. Yeah. Stranger in that there's no actual genesis of anything. There's no conditioning. Not as the baby, not prior to the baby, not conception or prior to conception, not as the adult. There is no condition ever. Ever. There is no baseline that you can add to or subtract from. Really, as the sense of individuation completely relaxes. There is no genesis. Cue Asian sheet laughter.
So why do we make up concepts?
Say again.
I think what landed me here,
I only come in with sodomy,
is that of my like failures,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's probably a story that I tell myself because it's like, okay, oh wow, this has meaning, I'll try this for a while, but then it seems to be not working. And so then
yes.
You know, I put a lot of
lucky for you, everything will fail.
That actually is lucky for you.
I'm starting to see that. My failures have been my greatest successes. Which seems to be the story of my life.
Now, and I'm like, ah,
oh, sucker.
Sucker. They're like blowing about it on Facebook. I'm like,
really. Sucker.
So then some very seeming mystical or dramatic or big coincidence occurs, right? Mm. And I'm going to attach a lot of meaning to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, and in the moment, it seems like, oh, wow, that's a super coincidence. And then I put some distance, and that distance, you know, then time passes, seeming, well, you know. Anyway, then it's over with. And it seems a lot less of a coincidence than, like, you know, it's not really as dramatic as it. I gave it that meaning, you know.
Mm.
But then I was wondering why my storyline is the way it is. Do you know what I mean?
Free will, of course.
But where the hell is it coming from? Is it coming from some bizarre firing of neurons that comes up with this sort of, you know, thing based on
Gary Weber would agree with that.
Insane past and
he would be wrong, but he would not agree with it.
Pieces of information coming in and like, in other words, maybe I'm thinking we can somehow make friends or extract meaning from from the crazy mind.
Well, this goes back to she who must be in control.
Yeah. She who must be
obeyed.
She who must be obeyed. Yeah, you see, by finding causality and then hoping that there is a practical use to the discover of some kind of causality is what's gotten all the scientists in such trouble.
So our sort of wandering imaginations are arbitrary, completely arbitrary.
Well, don't you think? I mean, here's your present experience, like as in you're alive right here, right now. This is where you're fucking living. For better or worse, we got you. You got us right here. This is it.
Right.
Where's everything that you thought about, fussed over, complained about, held at bay, ranted over prior to now?
I don't know, and you know what? I get real fucking pissed off thinking that I spent more than 1 minute on some of the things I think.
There you go.
I spent
there you go. There you go.
But yet, I still do it.
I hear you.
And that's,
sister.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
You spend 1 minute on what?
Like when I think about all the time I spent, you know, fussing about, you know, some person, place, or thing from my past, right?
Right.
Like I, you know, I spent years
all of the wise control
about some guy or person or situation or thing, and I'm like, why that?
All of your best efforts.
Did I put 1 ounce of energy into that?
It got you here. All of it brought you here.
Again, with the failures.
Well, you can see the hysterical nature with which we live amounts to pretty much nothing at all.
And yet we're still I'm still doing it.
Okay. I hear you.
I mean, maybe not to the degree I was before, but...
I would say to a far less degree.
Okay, so...
But again, we're not looking at, you know, psychiatric ease as a marker. Because psychiatric ease, while it's really nice, I'm not going to kick a gift horse in the mouth when it comes to psychiatric or emotional ease. I mean, hallelujah. But we're not relying on it as a marker. We can't rely on it as a marker for irrationality, right? For this to be as it is.
Because I've gone down some, you know, albeit maybe shorter, but I've gone down some, you know, crazy roads in my mind.
We count on you for that.
Yeah, thank you. Somebody has to be the
seduction scenario.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any questions?
So question segment of the show.
Yeah, finally we've gotten to Q&A. Those were my opening remarks. A little winded today, what can I say?
Focusing on reporting. Folks who have reported on periods of time where they seem to have or not been engaged in their mind game. Have they, you know, you can't really, there's no way you can really verify that. You know, you can't verify that, can you?
No.
Because somebody could say very convincingly, as you have said, I am in a state of bliss and, blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
And be completely full of shit.
What else could they be?
Well, they're speaking about it from the vantage point of the creature.
Yeah.
So you can never really know.
No.
And that's a good thing.
Probably, yes. Yeah.
Because that takes religion out of it and spirituality.
That would be a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, from my bias, sure.
Yeah, from my bias, too. There's no one-upmanship.
Thank goodness. Everyone goes to maggots.
I've told my son I want him to light me on fire. I don't want to go with maggots.
Make sure to eat a lot of popcorn. What was that funny thing? Eat a bunch of
corn
chips. No, eat a bunch of raw popcorn kernels before you go into the oven.
Oh.
So that.
Oh, I see. You just do a giant enema of them.
Yeah, you could.
Oh, we're back to sodomy.
We're back to sodomy. You could fill your anal cavity with popcorn, and when they start to fry you, you'll just.
Couldn't catch me. A way to go at. A way to go at.
Did you
want to
freak out?
How is it possible that we mix what we mix here? Listen.
I know.
Totally okay. It should have to be 21 to you know.
How many people have tuned in and go, oh, this has to be the...
This can't be about realization. These people are just freaking sodomists. I am not a sodomist. I am not interested in carnality. Thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll see you next week.